again, that goes back to being able to make your customers as comfortable as possible by giving someone a phone number that they can call, and we allow our, you know, we give our customers access to us 24 hours a day.
Now,
so,
that was something else I wanted to find out. How do you give somebody access to you 24 hours a day? Do you have people working in your office 24 hours a day?
No, no, not at all. What we do is we use a call center.
Okay.
So we use a call center. We switch over our lines at 6 in the afternoon, and then we grab them back at 10 the next day.
Okay, now run me through a call center, because that's something that I believe is going to be very, very new to some people dealing in the online world.
Okay, well, basically a call center, what a call center does is if you have a website, let's say if you have a website, and a call center was used primarily offline. A lot of direct mail companies and things like that use call centers. And actually a lot of the infomercials, if you're watching an infomercial at night and you order the Silver Bullet, which I think is a mixer or something like that, they'll have a toll-free number that says call now 1-800-da-da-da-da, Silver Bullet, and you could call in. Chances are you're usually calling into a call center. And a call center is staffed with individuals that know about your product. They know the answers to the most frequently asked questions that people would ask in regards to your product. And they know how to take the order, and then they forward that order over to you. You can either have them email them to you on a day-by-day basis or fax them over to you or whatever it is, whatever method you prefer. So that's what a call center pretty much does. And, you know, a lot of people listening into this, they may think a call center is expensive, but you can get a call center to handle your calls for as little as 30 cents a call, especially if your volume is not that high. It depends on your volume. Depends on the hours of operation that you need them, and it depends on the call center that you use. There's thousands of call centers out there, so you can pretty much do the research and find a good call center and project that professional corporate image on your website, and people will never know, even if it's a business that you're running from your home office or your bedroom.
So where do you have a recommended call center that you can give out?
Yeah, what I would do is there's a place called Answer Phone, and it's A-N-S-A-P-H-O-N-E. It's A-N-S-A-F-O-N-E, Answer Phone. And they're based down in Florida as well as in California. And if you do a Google under Answer Phone, you'll come up with their name, and they're a great company. Our rep there, his name is Terry. That's your name. His name is not Terry. His name is, let me just look at my Rolodex there. His name is Ted. So if you can call him up and ask for Ted and tell him Ty Cohen from Platinum Millennium sent you, I don't know if they'll give you a discount or not, but it'll always be good for us as a referral.
And you know what? You really touched on a real important point there is if you can have a contact, especially in large businesses, if you have a contact that basically becomes your friend, you can get stuff pushed through a whole lot faster. Not only just in call centers, but you know, for large companies, ClickBank, PayPal, anything that with large companies, if you can actually have a friend there or a good contact, you're miles ahead of everybody else who has to send in their emails to support and wait for 2 or 3 days and all that kind of stuff. So that's awesome. That's very useful information. If we go to Answer Phone and talk to Ted,
right? Definitely.
Excellent. Now, what other niches are you involved in?
Well, along with the music industry, I'm into real estate investing. That's one of our niches. We have a couple of courses on that. Self-improvement and motivation, business development, which I'm big on, men's health and dating, and there's a few others as well that we've been working on, gardening and things like that, child care, and a few other sites. Most of them are sites that I'm either passionate about or something that has piqued my interest or something that my wife is interested in, and she'll usually bring the idea to me, and then we'll do some research, and we'll put it together and see how it flies.
Awesome. So do you have a kind of a set marketing formula that you just plug in whatever niche you decide you're interested in? Let's say gardening, for example. You've got mostly music, but then you start up basically the same type of thing in the gardening industry. Do you have a kind of a specific marketing formula that you just plug into?
Yeah, definitely. Let's take business development, for example.
Uh-huh.
It has to be something I'm interested in.
Yep.
And in this case, it's business development. The markets, it should be passionate about their interests. Most business owners, they are passionate about their business, you know, and it shows because Most business owners work long days, and they work even longer weeks and things like that, you know. So they should be extremely passionate. And again, hobbyists, you know, let's go back to the comic book collecting and toy collecting, things like that. That was an extremely passionate market. Like I said, some of my customers, I can get on the phone with them, and we would talk for hours, you know,
right.
Because we were just that passionate. The passion was there. So that's a very good sign. The third thing is, there's got to be multiple targeted ways for me to reach them. You know, so there should be multiple targeted ways for you to reach your market. You want to be able to get as much exposure as possible. And by that, I mean there should be, you know, specialty magazines that you can go in and advertise in if you want to. There should be mailing lists that you can purchase. There should be forums. There should be conventions, workshops, you know, meetup groups. So you should have multiple different ways to contact your market and be able to reach out to them and get your message in front of them. You know, the fourth thing is, for me personally, I love to talk to my customers and my clients. So it's got to be a communicative group, and it's got to be a fun communicative group, you know. I love being able to get on the phone, which is another reason why I think we allow our customers to reach us in so many different ways. We're so open with our customers because I love to talk to them. You know, I'm not much of a talker, but when it comes to something that I'm passionate about, I do love to share time with them and find out what makes them tick and how I can help improve on their lives or their goals and dreams.
Excellent. I think that's one of the big keys, is really that building the relationship with each individual customer and getting. Probably you aren't going to be able to build a relationship with every customer, but the ones that take the initiative to give you a call, then you can build a relationship with them, and you really have a lifelong customer once you've built that relationship into almost more of a friendship relationship, as opposed to I'm just buying stuff from you.
Right, exactly, and that's crucial. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many of our customers that I've just spoken to over the phone, who initially, you know, may have had the idea or been interested in one of our products, and after talking to me or we've kicked it off, they've went in and purchased everything that we've had, or, you know, they've joined one of my coaching clubs, or they've come to one of my workshops or seminars or things like that. And when I say workshops and coaching clubs, I'm talking about the internet marketing and business development workshops and coaching clubs and things like that. Or that have gotten us referral business, you know, just by being able to talk to a live person. Nowadays, we're so wrapped up into instant messaging and email and you know, just checking our webmail and sending our customers to our website, that the personalization is not there. You know, it's all about us. It's all about us instead of being about your customers and building that relationship, as you said.
Exactly. Now, you've got a fairly scientific way of, like you were talking about, the business development. It's pretty scientific the way that you're bringing people into your sales funnel. Before we go into that, can you explain what a sales funnel is? Now, you mentioned your marketing and several different ways of marketing. How do you use that to bring people into your sales funnel?
Well, sales funnel, the traditional meaning of a sales funnel is you get someone into your sales funnel, and it's sort of like an actual funnel. If you look at an oil funnel and you invert it, you have a smaller part at the top, or actually you have a larger part at the top and a smaller part at the bottom. It gets smaller and smaller. So you bring someone in usually by giving them a free report or letting them attend a free workshop or seminar or listening to a free audio. And then by that, you build their comfort level with you. They get to say, you know, read your material. They get to figure you out as a human. And they get to fill you out pretty much and say, this is someone that I can relate to. This guy knows what he's talking about. Or, yeah, this is a company that I want to do business with. They seem to be an ethical company. I don't think I'll have any problems with them. They know exactly what my problems are, and it looks like they can help me solve that problem. So normally that's how you would get your clients into your customer funnel. It's just like with real estate agents. My wife is a real estate agent. And the way we get people into her customer funnel, or her lead funnel, as we call it, is we place ads in real estate, homes for sale, and home buyer and home seller magazines. And she offers these free home buyer and home seller kits. It's pretty much a kit for, let's say if you were purchasing a home in our area, which is North Carolina. It's pretty much a kit that gives you all of the stats on North Carolina. It tells you about the educational level, some of the schools that are around, the tax rates, you know, the average pay rate and things like that. So that's a way of getting people into her sales funnel where if you're getting comfortable with her, dealing with her as an individual, hopefully she'll get them on the phone and she'll be able to show them some homes that are available for sale. So that's how you want to get people into your sales funnel. Now, traditionally, marketers say that you should start off with a low price point or free item, such as a free report, free video, free MP3, and then upsell that customer or sell them on higher priced items along the way. So from free to like $17 to maybe $27 to $47 to $97, then to $997. I don't take that traditional model. I get them into our sales funnel, and then depending on what their needs are, and this is where surveys and just finding out what your customer base needs, I'll take them to the appropriate product, whether that product be a $17 product or whether it be a $3,000 weekend retreat or seminar or something like that. So I go against the grain as far as saying, okay, well, I've got to go through this drawn-out process where we're going to go from one price point to the next price point to the next price point to the next price point. I'll take them exactly from free to maybe $997 if that's what their need is.
So how do you do that? How do you do that on a large scale? Because, I mean, if you're getting, I don't know, let's say you're getting 50 to 100 customers a day, you can't talk to each customer.
No, you can't talk to each customer, but we do allow them to, we do make available to them all of our offerings. And by that, when we get someone to our website, we'll give them a free report, and on the side of that free report, the page, you'll see a listing of some of our other products, some of our services, some of our websites. So they have access to everything right here. They can click onto one of our sites. Whether it be a site for an ebook or for a seminar that we're holding that month or a coaching club that we're holding that period of time. So, you know, let's say if you're looking for an ebook on learning how to, learning how to care for your Japanese koi fish. Koi fish is one of our markets.
Okay.
All right, so you might want that ebook. You may be a beginner. You go to our site, you download the ebook. It's a free report, and it gives you some great information. But you may say, Ty, you know, yeah, I'm a beginner, but I want to hurry up and go from A to Z. What do you have? I don't want to take these steps. I might say, okay, John, I have this course here, and it'll be available on the side of our website. They can click onto that site, and they'll see the course, and it's a $500 course that teaches them everything they need to know about koi fish, from care to maintenance to the temperature levels that they should have to the pH levels that their water should be maintained at. And it includes manuals, it includes booklets, it includes videos, actual videos that they can watch. You know, so you never know where your customer may be at in this sales process, and you don't want to assume. You know, I think that's the biggest mistake that we make as marketers is just assuming that most people that get into our sales funnels are beginners.
Right.
You know, so let's say if I assume that I have a musician that's just getting into this thing, and the only thing I offer him are beginner's kits, I'm going to lose that guy quick.
Right.
You know, but if I'm able to offer him something that can relate to his experience level at that moment, then I can keep him and hopefully get a chance to upsell him on other products that are higher ticket products along the way as well.
So you'll take a niche and really develop a catalog of products that you can offer to people at all the various different levels within that specific niche.
Exactly. And I don't, you know, you don't necessarily have to start your niche or start out with an entire catalog. I don't recommend that for anyone because it'll take you forever to get started if you do that in most cases. Start with a small product. Start with a free report. And if that grows and you see that there's actually a market for that product, then you can grow it at that point. You know, start with your ebook and then take that ebook and turn that ebook into an audiobook.
Yeah.
And then take that audiobook and turn it into a video. So now you have an entire course. You have your book, you have your video, and you have your audio program. That's an entire course now that you can sell. You throw in some reports, put together some one or two page reports, and your course is complete. So now you have multiple different products that you can offer to them.
Excellent. Now, how do you go about marketing that? Let's go back to the report for the fish.
The koi fish.
How do you start marketing that? Let's pull in some examples of exactly how you're marketing the koi fish report.
All right. What we do is, depending on what it costs for us to advertise in these different places, We'll place ads and buy, when I say ads, I mean we'll place ads in specialty magazines. Again, that's where I got my start, so I'm kind of stuck on that, and it's a good thing because it works out.
Right.
It works like crazy sometimes, you know.
Now, in the very beginning, are we looking at quarter page ads, or what are we looking at?
No, we're looking at classified ads.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're looking at classified ads because, again, you're traditionally going to go into a market that's passionate. So if they're passionate, they're not going to bypass the classifieds either. You know, if it's a specialty magazine that they're looking at, and you have some people, I mean, I have magazines, some of my music magazines, I'll read from cover to cover. I mean, every single piece of this thing, and not only will I read it once, I'll read it twice, you know, or more often than that. So if you have someone who's passionate about it, about their interest, then they're not going to miss these classified ads, and classified ads are a quick, inexpensive way to test the market. You know, that's offline. And then online, you can start by, you know, putting out some articles. Go and put together some articles. Hopefully you should be knowledgeable enough about your market that you can write out a one-page or a one-and-a-half-page article and submit that to a few article directories like eZine, Article, and things like that, and start getting some traffic to your sites as well. Another thing that I suggest is people try out pay-per-click advertising. And if you're first starting out with pay-per-click, I don't suggest that you go into Google AdWords, not by a long shot. Start out small. Go out and set up a Overture or Yahoo Overture account, and you know, set a small budget and see if you can get some clicks and test and tweak that thing, and then just grow it and scale it up from that point.
Now, why Yahoo and not Google? What's the difference there?
Well, the thing is, with Yahoo, you're going to spend less money because there's less clicks that you're going to receive. With Google, if you turn around and you blink for 5 minutes, you can easily go through a couple of $100. You know, and that can be devastating. For someone that's just starting out, you know, you set up your campaign, 24 hours later you go back to your account and you see that you've went through $400 or $500 worth of clicks overnight. That could be the first thing that can say, that can make you say, okay, this market it's not going to work for me, this is not for me. When all along you may be sitting on a gold mine.
If you got 500 clicks, you're sitting on a gold mine. You're doing well.
Yeah.
That's good. Excellent.
It may be pretty well, you know, unless it's a really universal market. Let's say if your keyword is something like MP3,
yep,
or something that's really generic like car or sex or something like that, then
right,
that may not be good for you.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. Now, are you driving people from pay-per-click and from the classifieds? You're driving them to your website where they can leave their name and email address for the report, or are they able to just download the report?
No, what we're doing is we're driving them directly to an opt-in. We don't do anything without an opt-in. It's all about the leads. It's all about the list. My thing is, if they're not serious enough to leave their name and their email address and answer a simple question that I may or may not be asking them at the time, then that's not someone that would probably be interested in spending money with you in most cases, you know. But you have to determine that on a market-by-market basis. So
right,
depending on your market, you need to figure that out. So what I suggest is that you do a little bit of testing and find out what works for you. In most of our markets, and the majority of them, we do fairly well with sending them to an opt-in page where we describe the product that they're going to get, the free report, whether it be a free report, MP3, video, and then you know, they usually don't have a problem with leaving their contact information.
Okay. So do you kind of target specific types of advertising to specific types of products? For example, you're with the Koi Fish, you would be using classified ads and pay-per-click to get people to go and download the free report so that they can get into their get into your sales funnel and get into purchasing other products that are within that that niche and that interest that industry. Now, would you use postcards and direct mail to hit that list as well?
Yeah, what I would do, actually, I would use direct mail and postcards. What I would do, let's say if it's an offline publication,
mm-hmm,
and if the classifieds are working out for me pretty well, usually that's a good indicator that you can go in, you can purchase that list, that subscriber list, from that magazine or from a mailing list service, and mail some direct mail pieces to their subscriber list as well. But the thing is, and I'm going to go off on a tangent for a minute here, when doing direct mail and purchasing subscriber lists, you always want to go for the paid subscriber list. And when I say paid, you know, you've got to be very careful, because they'll give you a paid subscriber list and say, this is what you want here. But in reality, you ever see there's these tear sheets that you can tear out of magazines, and it says, okay, send me a subscription and bill me later.
Yep.
Have you ever seen that?
Yep.
Well, those are not the paid subscribers that you want, but most magazines count those people as paid subscribers. You don't want that. You want people who actually have paid up for their subscription for the year or for the six-month period, and tell them that those are the individuals that you want. Because if those are people that are actually paying for a subscription to Koi Fish Weekly or whatever it may be, then those are ones that are going to spend money, because, again, they're passionate about their hobby. They have a credit card in most cases to use, and you know, they're the ones that are going to go to your site and spend some money with you.
Excellent. So the process then would be to almost use the classified ad in that magazine as a little test to see if that subscriber base is going to be actually worth sending a direct mail piece to.
Exactly. That's an inexpensive test for you to run right there. And then if the direct mail piece works for you, you know, don't abandon the classifieds. We run classifieds continuously. We're continuously testing our classifieds to see, you know, what pulls better. We're testing little headlines. We're testing the content. We're testing words like free report or, you know, expert knowledge and things like that, you know. So if you get one thing that's working for you, in this case would be the classifieds, and then you move on to the postcards and direct mail, continue to move into other areas. If you have one thing working for you, just continue to move into other areas, and that's how you build up your customer base. You know, you can then move from to radio ads, maybe, if it's a market that you think you would be able to reach by radio. You can move into cable television ads, which are really inexpensive. They're not as expensive as people think. You can get a good cable television ad started up for about $1,500. You know, so just try different ways of reaching your market. And before you go and put together a product, you know, make a list of all of the different ways that you can reach your market. Are there specialty magazines that are out there? You know, how many websites are there that are out there? How many competitors have sites that are out there? Are there forums, message boards? Are there, like, nationwide workshops and conventions that are held that my marketplace attends? You know, so just try to make up a list of as many different places that you can reach them.
Excellent. Now, if we look at, just going to back up to the magazines again, if we look at the specifics, say we find, like you said, Koi Fish Weekly, for example, that one's working out really well. You're getting quite a lot of traffic from the classified ads. Do you go directly to the magazine and ask about buying their list, or do you use a list broker?
Well, you know, you can use a list broker, and in order to go directly to the magazine, you would have to use the services of an ad agency. And what we've done, and this is just a little tip for people that are listening in, you can set up your own ad agency, but you know, this is if you're heavy into this, if you're going to be purchasing mailing lists on a regular basis, set up your own ad agency. And the reason why I say to do that is because ad agencies usually get a 20% discount.
Right, yep.
So you can save yourself 20% by having your own ad agency, your own in-house ad agency, and it doesn't have to be anything that's, you know, really complicated. And that would allow you to save a significant amount of money on your mailing list. Now, if you're not comfortable with doing that and you just want to start off, then yeah, there are list house services that you can go to. There are list houses, and you know, some of the list houses that I suggest are InfoUSA. I think everybody may have heard of InfoUSA. They're one of the biggest ones out there.
Okay.
They're pretty good. Our rep, his name is Greg. I'm not sure of Greg's last name, but I think he's the only Greg there.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to call InfoUSA and they can ask for Greg, and then again you can tell them that Ty Cohen had referred you guys. And then there's another place called The List Company, and their website is tlclist.com.
Okay.
So The List Company, tlclist.com, and they're another great reputable mailing list service that I've used before. Some of these mailing list services, you've got to be pretty careful with them, because you want to make sure that they give you up-to-date fresh contacts and fresh mailing lists and things like that. So those are two that I have not had problems with.
Excellent. Thank you. I think that saves people a lot of time and money going through a whole lot of lists to find out where the good ones are.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And that can be pretty devastating as well. You know, let's say if you send out 10,000 postcards and, you know, you get like a point 4% response rate or a 0.2% response rate, then that can be pretty devastating for you as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't even get your money back that you spent on the list, that's a bit of a problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, once you've got all this marketing material out in the market, you've got postcards going out to the koi fish people, you have classified ads that are going out, maybe you're running in two or three different magazines. How do you track everything coming in to figure out maybe Koi Fish Weekly is really pulling well, but Koi Fish Monthly is not bringing in anything? How do you track all that marketing material?
Well, what we do is we keep spreadsheets of everything. I've actually got a whiteboard in my office that I track myself, different ads and things like that, different markets that I'm testing. But another way to do it is use extensions on your phone numbers. Let's say if you have a toll-free follow me line, which is a line that's actually just a toll-free number. You can use extensions. Let's say if you're advertising Koi Fish Weekly, the May edition, you might have your toll-free number, which is 1-800-KOI-FISH extension 2. And then in the June edition, you'll have 1-800-KOI-FISH extension 3. Now, that allows you to test where your calls are coming from, because then you can log into your toll-free number account. And one of the companies that we use is called Freedom Voice, which has that tracking capability to allow you to track where your calls are coming from. But you can log into your account, and you can see where the majority of your calls are coming from and what's working for you and what's not working. And then, obviously, you cut loose the ones that are not working for you. And, you know, the same thing by, as far as testing magazines, you know, let's say if you're advertising Koi Fish Weekly and you're also running the same identical ad in Koi Fish Journal, the ad may be identical, but the only thing that's going to change in those ads is that extension number. You know, in Koi Fish Weekly, your extension number might be extension 3, and then in the Koi Fish Journal, your extension might be extension 4. Or if you're sending them to your mailing address, you want them to mail in a self-stamped envelope or something like that to receive your catalog, you would send them to, let's say, P.O. Box 1733, Wichita, Kansas, Department KW6, to signify June. You know, and that's how you would be able to know that those are the people that saw your ad in Koi Fish Weekly, the June edition.
Right, that's great. And then on the advertising side, or the website side, how do you track and test there?
Well, what we do on the website side is we usually set up extensions. You can set up extensions, but that may be a bit confusing for some people. So what I suggest people do is I suggest you invest $40 or $50, go and buy maybe about 5 or 6 different domains or whatever it is that you need that are all similar. So let's say, again, we'll use the Koi Fish model. You can set up 5 different domains. You have Koi Fish 1, Koi Fish 2, Koi Fish 3.com, Koi Fish 4.com, Koi Fish 5.com, and point each one of those domains, or use each one of those domain names in each of your different advertising methods, and then just redirect that domain name to an ad tracker. And we'll talk about ad trackers and how you test and track your ads and the effectiveness of your ads maybe later on in this call. Or if you want, we can get into it now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's do it now. This is a good time.
Yeah, so let's say, okay, we've got KoiFish1.com, and then you've got KoiFish2.com. KoiFish1.com is for your ads that are placed in Koi Fish Weekly, and KoiFish2.com are for the ads that you've placed in Koi Fish Journal. All right, when people go to KoiFish1.com, what you would do is you would have that domain name redirect through your ad tracker, and your ad tracker would be this URL that you would get from your ad tracking software, like One Shopping Cart or Pro Analyzer. And it keeps track of everyone that visited that domain name through that ad tracking URL. Not only that, but it would also be able to allow you to keep track of everyone that opted into your list and that eventually made a sale from you. So then by logging into your One Shopping Cart account, let's say, you'd be able to see which ads are most effective for you and effectiveness as far as bringing in opt-ins as well as bringing in actual sales. So that's the importance of using ad trackers. You know, One Shopping Cart has a great service that they offer with each account, and that is the ability to track where your leads and your sales are coming from. And I definitely recommend that anyone who's just getting started into internet marketing, you start off on the right foot, and that's by testing and tracking everything. That's the quickest way to increase your returns and find out, you know, what are some of your profit pullers and then what are some of your losers, and just cut loose your losers and focus more money and effort and time into your profit pullers.
So just to summarize what you're saying, you're actually able to target which magazine is bringing you the most leads, which is bringing you the most sales, so that you can actually take a look at your statistics at the end of the month and say, okay, Koi Fish Weekly brought me in 2,000 leads but only made me 50 sales, whereas Koi Fish Journal brought me in 1,000 leads but made me 500 sales.
Right, exactly. And then if Koi Fish Journal is the one that's bringing the amount of leads, the next thing you might want to do is, in the next issue, place maybe 2 classified ads and make them look totally different from each other. You know, one classified ad might say free report, get everything you need to know to raise healthy, vibrant-looking koi fish. Visit www.koifish1.com, and then your other classified ad might say something like free report, expert reveals the secrets to raising healthy koi fish. Visit koifish2.com, and you can test those different classified ads. And again, the testing process starts all over again. You see which classified ad draws the most amount of responses, and then you just duplicate it and just continue running with that classified ad and just increasing your advertising methods. And another thing is, if your classified ads work, then you might want to scale that up and start getting into larger ads, quarter page ads, or an eighth of a page ad, or half of a page ad, and test those and see if they can make you money as well. So it's all an entire testing process. That way you're never guessing. You know exactly what's working for you. You can pinpoint exactly what's working for you, what's bringing in the sales, what's bringing in the leads, and what's not.
Excellent, excellent. Now, if somebody is really starting into a niche on a shoestring budget, what kind of a process can they go through, and what amount of money would they be able to at the very low end, what should somebody look at? For example, if we're going to look at the koi fish market, if somebody's coming in with a very limited budget, when you start doing classified ads in Koi Fish Weekly, for example, and you've got your websites, like you said, you put up 4 or 5 different websites, all the other additional expenses, what would we be looking at to kind of start into a market like that?
I think if you're just starting into your market, you never go into print advertising at first, and I'll tell you why. First thing is, print advertising, it can usually take some time to find out what your results are going to be. If you submit an ad to most publications, chances are that ad is not going to be printed in that edition of that magazine for about a month or 2 or 3 months after that. I would always recommend that someone starts online using maybe pay-per-click advertising and always set their daily budgets to like the minimum so that you can constantly monitor and tweak those ads. Another way to try to start on shoestring budget is to see if there's any competitors out there in the market that you're going after and align yourself with those competitors who may sell complementary products. So let's say if your ebook is all about raising healthy koi fish and you have a company that's out there who may be one of your competitors who sells koi fish, you could say, I've got a koi fish ebook that I think that your customers may be interested in. Would you mind mailing a solo mailing out to your customers, or would you mind if I purchase some ad space in one of your newsletters or on your thank you page or something like that? Now you guys are not competing with each other in a way because you're selling complementary products. So I think that's one of the best ways to find out if your market is a strong market and to start on a shoestring budget. Another way is article marketing. We do a ton of article marketing. That's primarily how we have so many listings out there. You mentioned earlier at the top of the call that there's over 1 million listings if you go in and type in my name or my company name or something like that. And a lot of that is through the use of joint ventures and article marketing. So those are two ways that you can get started.
Excellent. And what kind of a time frame would we be looking at? Could you do that in about 30 days, or is it more of a six-month process?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can do that actually in a matter of a couple of weeks. I'd say about 2 or 3 weeks. If you align yourself up with joint ventures, you can actually do that in a matter of days if you come across the right joint venture partners and the right people to approach. As a matter of fact, there's two individuals that I had one of my affiliate managers contact yesterday, and this morning he sent me a reply email. We've already got a deal on the table for a potential joint venture partner that wants to send out a mailing about our products next Monday or this coming Monday. So, you can get these things running pretty quickly. And what I do recommend is if you're seeking out joint venture partners, to try to give them a call versus sending out an email. You know, everybody receives emails nowadays, so if you can find a phone number on a site, and granted, all sites may not have a phone number, but maybe you can do a Whois lookup and see if you can find a phone number as well. Try to give that individual a call, introduce yourself, explain a little bit about yourself, and explain a little bit about your product or service to that person, and also point out how your products complement each other and how, you know, it would be a benefit to his customer base to get exposure to your product as well.
Excellent, excellent. You've just given us an absolute university course in marketing here, Ty. This is absolutely fantastic. Just before we wrap everything up, do you have any last words of advice or things maybe that we've missed along the way that you'd like to fill in?
So, you know, I think one of the biggest things is for people, if you're just starting out or whether you're already into this, I think one of the biggest things that people should be doing is aligning themselves up with mentors and just, you know, studying other individuals. Just go out and spend time to study how, you know, other people advertise or how other people do things when it comes to online marketing, as well as study some of the things that they don't do. You know, if one of your mentors or someone that you admire who's a fairly decent internet marketer, you may see where he may not mail out to his list as often. And there may be a reason why he doesn't do that, or he may not advertise in certain publications or online newsletters, and there may be a reason why he does not do that. So study what they do as well as what they don't do, and I think that'll be one of the biggest ways for you to cut through the chase and be a little bit more successful in a shorter period of time online.
Excellent, excellent. Now, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Ty, how do they go about that?
Well, they can reach me by phone at 866. It's a toll-free number, 1-866-752-9968, and that's actually to our offices here. Or they can visit our website, www.mindcoachuniversity. That's mind, M-I-N-D, coach, C-O-A-C-H, university, UNIVERSITY.com, or at sixfigurecoachingclub.com, and that's S-I-X. Figure, F-I-G-U-R-E, coaching, C-O-A-C-H-I-N-G, club, C-L-U-B.com, sixfigurecoachingclub.com. And what Six Figure Coaching Club is, it's actually a coaching club for newbie internet marketers where we take them hand by hand through a four-week process of learning how to develop their market or find a market at first, learning how to approach their market and put together products. And it's an intensive course where we show them everything from A to Z that they would need to get started online.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you very much, Ty. You have been an education and inspiration, I think, for not only for myself but for the listeners. And I just want to say thank you very much for taking the time with us and really giving us the complete education, the marketing education that you've given us.
No problem. I appreciate you for having me on the call.
Thank you, Ty. You take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.